Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm in Atlanta. My boss, Jay Posner, in San Diego. Jay, did you see that glitch there? I'm glad I wasn't doing like, you know, still doing my makeup and everything during the intro.
I know. I'm not sure what that was. I have to admit, I'm not feeling great today. And I thought maybe I was having some sort of hallucination there during that, except I haven't taken anything stronger than Tylenol. So it shouldn't be.
Let me tell you that you are not hallucinating.
I will tell you
that Robinson Cano is going to be a Padre. How about that, huh? Tell me your thoughts before we get into the nitty gritty.
Well, I thought that was the nitty gritty, was Robinson Cano. So what I want to know is, does Don Orsillo get to borrow John Sterling's famous home run call for Robinson Cano, where he throws in a don't you know at the end, just because that's what John Sterling does. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, my first thought was, really? And that was probably my second and third thought. My fourth thought is more, I don't know. I guess it can't hurt. If you look at it at this point, it's not like they're teaming with hitters. Cano hasn't been good. Boy, he didn't play for a year. But I guess he was good in winter ball. He was good in spring training. He was not good in April with the Mets, so they let him go, even though they're still paying his salary. Seems like very low cost, very low risk for the Padres at this point. I mean, if he comes in and he gets a few hits, hey, great. I mean, he can play first or second, but you know, primarily second. He can DH. You know, you can always play him at second and Cronenworth at short against right-handed hitters or right-handed pitchers, I mean, which the Padres will see twice in this series. It gives them, as you've written, a left-handed bat off the bench. And, you know, if we go a couple weeks or whatever it is, a month, and he's the second coming of Matt Beatty, and then Tatis comes back, then, you know, you let him go and it didn't cost you anything. I guess that's how I look at it. I don't know that he's taking at bats away from anybody who deserves them at this point is kind of maybe the best way.
And there's the point. If people deserve them, then they won't. If he deserves them, then he will get them. Look, very often these, what'd you say? It can't hurt. So let's call it a can't hurt deal. Very often these can't hurt deals don't work out. Right. Okay. Sure. And then other times they do. And honestly, it's like a no cost or virtually no cost, no brainer right now. Like, okay. I didn't look it up. I'm very disappointed in myself now, but whatever that was, a 510 OPS or whatever he had in those 40 something plate appearances, I don't think that would have been last on the Padres at the end of April.
So of April, right.
there's one thing. Sure. Who knows? I'm sure the Padres know more than they're letting on, but one person speculated, hey, maybe it was a slow start and we got a few of those. So, maybe that was some sort of analysis based on what he did in the Dominican Republic. The Mets had a roster crunch, so to speak, and they let go of Robinson Cano. He wasn't going to get playing time, or else other guys who were playing better were not going to get playing time. And now here he is. He's a Padre. A little bit like Will Myers being in the lineup, right? Like, maybe I'm stretching here. But look, when Will Myers comes up, that's better. That's someone the opponents fear more than, say, Jose Azokar right now. Will Myers needs to hit. I'm just saying, like, to get him back in the lineup, that was a boost for the Padres. They have a left-handed bat on the bench, a guy who has done a lot of damage in his career. It doesn't hurt to have that late in a game. Maybe it affects some sort of move. I don't know. We'll see. I bet you he gets a start here in the next couple of days. Obviously not today, but in the next couple of days, because that's how the Padres operate. Even though Bob Melvin isn't managing, his protege is, and Bob Melvin has a lot of say about what's going on with the team right now. So probably get him in there and get to see what he can do. And that's basically what the move is. The best part of the move is it's a big name, or the most intriguing part, I should say. It's a big name.
Yeah, and
this is basically Sergio Alcantara, who's been to 8 All-Star games. That's what it is.
I was going to say, I mean, I just think you have to look at who is he replacing. And he's replacing C.J. Abrams, who has certainly shown this week that he might be a little too good for AAA, but it'll be good for him to be down there. Three home runs already for El Paso. Be good for Abrams to get regular playing time, and I'm sure we'll see him again this year. But I think, there's just not much else at this point. And I'm sure it's kind of a, hey, what the hell? Why not take a shot? And as I said, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, you know, was Sergio Alcantara going to be that much better? I don't know. So Cano's done damage in the past. The chances of it working out probably aren't great, but maybe he gets a hit or two here that wins a game or two. And at the end of the year, we say, wow, remember that one game in May that Cano got a big hit and they won? So maybe that one game makes a difference. Maybe strikes out six times in a row and it doesn't. But I think at this point where the Padres are from a roster standpoint, it doesn't really it's not anything that you can say, wow, what are they doing? This is going to screw everything up, because their offense is already screwed up. So maybe he comes in and fixes it a little bit.
You use guys properly, and a very capable player like Robinson Cano can help your team in some way. Do the Dodgers regret signing Albert Pujols last year?
Right.
No, absolutely not. They batted him against who they were supposed to bat him against, and he hit some balls because he's an incredible ball player. And I'm not saying that Robinson Cano is Albert Pujols, but the guy had six top 10 MVP finishes. It's a heck of a ball player.
No, he was a very, very good baseball player. I'm sure he's not a very good player anymore, but the Padres don't need him to be very good. They just need him to be halfway decent occasionally. And
remember when the Padres used to sign guys like this and he was going to start every day? So that's not
right.
What this
is. If Cano ends up, you know, batting like in a couple of weeks, if he's in a key situation with Josh Hader on the mound, I'm not sure that's exactly using him properly. But if he's batting against a right-handed pitcher, you know, at that point in the game, then, you know, maybe he can do some damage. The same thing as you mentioned, I sort of like the Pujols analogy, not that he's Pujols, but maybe he can, maybe he can do that. I mean, look, did anybody, we'll segue out of Cano into this. Did anybody expect Luke Voit to, you know, come in this week and do what he did the first couple games that he was back and hit two home runs on Wednesday and, you know, basically get them back in the game that the bullpen coughed up, but you know, at least we saw, oh, that's what Luke Voit is supposed to do, you know, when he's here. And I'm not going to say that's, you know, going to kickstart him or anything like that, but it's got to at least give him some confidence that, you know, hey, I do remember how to do this and I can hit the ball over the fence. And that's what they, you know, and that's what they need.
That's a great point. And I'll be honest that, I don't check Twitter replies or mentions all that much because, you know, for my mental health, it's just a smart move for me. But I did see some, and I'm positive that there were more out there. Oh, they're activating this guy. What a terrible job. And, you know, oh my gosh, he was terrible in AAA. Guy hit two bombs. And that's what Luke Voit is supposed to do on occasion is do that. And sometimes the team knows what they're doing. So,
right. And he may go 0-10 with 8 strikeouts this weekend. I, you know, none of us can predict that. I mean, we said before the Cubs series, look, the Cubs aren't very good right now. Doesn't mean they can't win 2 or 3 games against the Padres. The Pirates just won 2 or 3 against the Dodgers. I doubt that the Dodgers are panicking and believing that they're, you know, their season's over or anything like that. I mean, this is, as we have said so many times through the years, this is what happens in a baseball season. And you're going to have some ups and downs. And the Padres now, this is an interesting trip, though. You're going to play 3 against the Braves, who have not been as good as people thought they were going to be. Certainly, they're 15-17. Although I did notice their run differential is -6. The Padres are 20-12. Theirs is +8. Not a big difference there. I mean, the Padres have obviously won a lot of close games because the Dodgers are 20-10, and they're +76. But the Braves are 15-17. The Phillies, I believe, are just under .500 as well. That's another team that's supposed to be pretty good. They blew a 7-1 lead last night and then still won the game. It's the second time I think they've blown a 7-1 lead this season. The first time they won after doing so. And then, you know, across the country to play the Giants, and you know, we know what that's like. The Giants continue to play better than certainly you and I think they will. Or certainly me anyway. So interesting trip. Padres have their, at least on paper, their top 3 starters lined up to pitch this weekend against the defending world champions. Yu Darvish goes tonight. He's been outstanding in every start but one. Sean Manaea is tomorrow. who was outstanding and has not been the last three starts, I believe, and Joe Musgrove on Sunday, who's been great all year. So,
yep. And you are you Darvish is he faced the Braves. That was on the final game. The Padres split against the Braves in four games, their first home or their first homestand.
Right.
And you Darvish was absolutely phenomenal. I believe it was 6 2/3 in a 2-1 victory. He allowed a home run. So that'll be interesting to see what Yu does, how he mixes it up against the Braves tonight. And this was the start. That was the start after San Francisco. And I was among the people going, okay, let's see what's happening here with Yu, right? Whatever. Is he healthy? What's going on? And he's really been remarkable, the way that that guy can go so deep in games and limit damage. And it's remarkable. And then, of course, Musgrove. Manaea, like if that's bad, which, yes, it's been a drop off. And there have been some hard hit balls, for sure. Some balls hit a ton. But if that's bad, because I believe two of those were quality starts, you'll take Sean Manaea there. That'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I'm not. So, I'm certainly not pushing for Manaea to be sent down.
I did not think you were. No,
anything like that. But I do think. And then the Braves will counter with Max Fried, who is a reminder of bad traits in the past. Has been the Braves' best starter again this year. Charlie Morton tomorrow, the veteran who has not been good at all this year.
And the Padres crushed him,
including against the Padres in the one start. And then Kyle Wright, who was good against the Padres and has been good this year. Fried and Ryder, they've been their two best starters so far. And we see, I guess it's a good thing for baseball fans, if not necessarily the Padres, but we did not get to see Ronald Acuna Jr. in the series in San Diego. As someone who loves watching great players, I'm happy that he's coming back this weekend, or not coming back, that he is back and playing and looking forward to watching him play.
Jay, that's a segue there. You said get to see Acuna. You get to see him. We should remind people if you kind of go out of your way to see him. Not that that's a huge deal, but tonight anybody can watch on Apple TV, correct? But on Sunday, you have to have a subscription to Peacock.
Yeah, for the Apple situation tonight, I believe you probably have to register, but you don't have to. But you don't have to pay. But you do have to. The games on Friday and Sunday are not on Bally Sports San Diego, even for people outside of San Diego who might watch on MLB TV or Extra Innings. It's not on there either. I think if you go to MLB TV tonight, they will have a button to press that will take you to Apple. But I think you still have to sign up for Apple, but you don't have to subscribe. So it's a free game, but on a different platform. Tomorrow's on regular Bally Sports San Diego. I think it might be on FS1 as well. And then Sunday's game, which is an 8:35 Pacific time start, which I can't recall ever seeing outside of the Patriots, the Red Sox playing on Patriots Day at 8:05 Pacific. I can't recall seeing a pre-noon start, but that's what Peacock has for their first few games. And that game is only on Peacock, and it's only if you pay. I don't think they have a free trial, but I won't swear to that. I have Peacock because of soccer, so it's easy for me, but I know for other people it won't be quite as easy. This is all just part of Major League Baseball. I'm not advocating for it or saying it's a good thing, because it's certainly inconvenient for some fans, but they're trying to make more money, and this is the way they're doing it. Whether it's the right thing or not, and whether it's going to attract new fans or tick off more fans than it's going to bring in, I don't know the answer to it, but – you know, that's what's going on. It's going to happen one more time when the Padres are in Washington. They are on Peacock also on that Sunday. So that's the only way to watch Sunday's game will be via Peacock.
I tread lightly as someone who goes to every game for free. I tread lightly here. I mean, I think I earned my way there, but I do get to go for free. So I don't have any right to complain about where you have to look for it, because I know where to look for it at the ballpark. But they are trying to get younger people, and people are cord cutting. And how mad do you have to be to stop watching baseball because you couldn't go watch one game? Again, I get it. I do. At first, I was, and I'd really put myself in the place of people. It is a pain in the butt, but like a lot of things that are pains in the butt, they're not after a while. And so,
And we'll see. I mean, I think this is, you know, this is two games this weekend. Like I said, it's one game in Washington. I'm not sure if it's going to happen again. I mean, this is different. Team like the Yankees, I think they're putting like 25 games on Amazon Prime. I can't imagine not having Amazon Prime, but I also know, you know, it's not cheap and there's people who don't have it and it's inconvenient. And you build habits among people. You know, we have known for the last several years when the Padres are on, with the rare exception of an ESPN or Fox Saturday game, you know where to find the Padres. It's a little bit difficult, a little bit different this weekend. It's just one weekend, so we'll see what happens. And you know, that's it's kind of the world we're in right now, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes from here. And I'll be watching tonight with my Apple TV. And does everybody not have Apple TV? Does everybody not watch Ted Lasso, Kevin? I guess I,
you know, I think there are some people that have not had that joy. And it's worth it. Hey, if you happen to go tonight to watch the Padres and you end up getting Apple TV, yeah, then there's a bonus. You get to watch Ted Lasso and be a better, happier person. So
Right.
Jay, are we going to spend any more time talking about this offense, talking about the bullpen? Very disappointing for the Padres that, you know, it's not Luke Voigt's fault they didn't win, right? Like you talk about those games you could look back on and go, remember that Luke Voigt won it with two home runs? But Luis Garcia, who, you know what, for the two, at least two, and I don't know what his string of like results has been, but for at least two appearances before that, that ball was moving and people weren't hitting it. And then he got hit hard the other night. And that's one of the four guys they've been riding down in that bullpen. And so that's a little more disturbing than, say, you know, someone else coming in that they haven't been using so much and getting rocked. But I do think that things are starting to stabilize down there. I do. And that's an odd time to say it, but that's the thing about baseball. You do all this work and you're like, okay, and here's why. And you talk to people, and then Luis Garcia goes out and gets rocked. And now I sound like an idiot, but I'm telling you that overall, you know, including Craig Stammen, what Nabil Crismat is doing, what Robert Suarez has done lately, I do believe the bullpen is stabilizing.
Well, I think it's stabilized in the sense of, as much as you can count on what's happened in a previous week or outing going forward, that's what's going to happen. I mean, right? I think we talked the last time we were together here, Suarez had not been good, and then all of a sudden he was, and he's continued to be good. Steven Wilson was really good. Then for a couple outings, he wasn't. Now he's good again. Luis Garcia has been good. He's been bad. He's been good. He was bad again the other day. I will say that when any of those guys go out there for the seventh or eighth inning, I'm not sure that this is that they sort of bring on the same confidence that Padre fans are used to seeing late in games. I mean, I'll date myself, but you know, the days of Scott Linebrink and Aki Otsuka and even Heath Bell, you know, set up guys, and I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of guys, but they just come to mind. Set up guys that you could always count on, that when they came in the seventh, eighth inning, you thought, oh, okay, well, they're going to get through it. It's going to get to Hoffman in the ninth, or Bell, or Houston Street, or whoever the, you know, Kirby Yates. I mean, any of those guys were going to lock it down. I would not feel the same confidence right now with these guys coming in the seventh or eighth inning. It's also, you know, today's May the 13th. So it's still pretty early in the year, and we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens if they can get a couple guys back. I mean, it was disheartening, I think, to see Pierce Johnson go on the 60-day DL. I don't think when he got hurt that was anything the Padres said, which of course we should get used to by now. Anytime a guy goes out, we should just assume he's going to be on the 60-day DL before too long. But, you know, they've lost Austin Adams. They've lost Drew Pomerantz. They've lost Pierce Johnson. I mean, those are three potential seventh, eighth inning guys right there. And I don't think the confidence level in the guys that are out there right now is quite as high.
I do want to say this, that during the Jace Tingler era, that was definitely the case. So far, Pierce Johnson has been the only guy where things went differently. And Bob Melvin has been extremely upfront because he understands after 20 years of managing that, you know, talking about an injury does not mean losses. Whereas two things, Jace Tingler knew who he worked for. And second, Jace Tingler sort of lived in a world where if it was raining, he I think it's going to stop. The forecast says 100% for the next 12 days, but I really think we're going to get this game in. That's who Jace Tingler was, and a lot of times we took him literally, and that just wasn't the case, and that's where – but, yes, anyway, little divergence. I just wanted to make sure whenever I can to point out the differences now that Bob Melvin is sort of running the show, so to speak. So, anyway – Jay, I don't really have anything new because this team keeps winning and losing games in the same way.
Right, right.
And no, you're not feeling I think well, and there's no reason to keep the folks around for any longer.
I would not be disappointed at this point, and I'm sure anybody listening would not be disappointed if we called it off here and did not approach the dreaded 30-minute tone today. But we wish everyone a good weekend. I think Monday is an off day. And so we will get together again on Tuesday when you are in Philadelphia.
Talk to you later, everybody.